Once again, a warm welcome to our service here this evening for this special baptismal service. Oh, there we go. That was a no extra charge. The book of Acts, chapter 8, please. Let's begin there. The book of Acts, chapter 8. I trust you have a Bible, or you can look on to somebody that has a Bible. I'd like to just share some thoughts with you concerning baptism from a biblical perspective. We are a Bible-believing church, a Bible-believing, Bible-practicing church. So as we prepare our hearts to witness baptism, it's important that we have a correct understanding of what Bible baptism is all about. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, please, note then verse 26. I'd like for us to read all the way down to verse number 38. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 38. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb or quiet before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Within this passage of Scripture, we find two individuals, a man of great authority, a eunuch, a man that had a very important responsibility, a treasurer for the Queen of Ethiopia. And this man has just been to Jerusalem to worship. And as he makes his way back on his chariot, God the Holy Spirit leads a man by the name of Philip. Philip is an evangelist, a preacher of the gospel. And the Spirit of God leads this man to approach this Ethiopian who is reading the Bible. In fact, he is reading out of the book of Isaiah, one of the Old Testament books, And he's reading out of Isaiah chapter 53. And as Philip approached this man, he said to him, "Do you understand what you're reading? This passage of scripture that you are reading, do you understand whom it's referring to?" And then the eunuch responded there in verse number 31 by simply saying, "How can I unless somebody guides me?" And the Bible goes on to teach in verse 31 that he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So basically, Philip just asked the question, no doubt from a distance, as he heard this man reading a portion of the scriptures. And he called out and he said to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Because Philip did. He recognized the passage of scripture. And then the eunuch humbly said, "Well, not really, but I would really like for somebody to come and help me to understand what I'm reading about." So he invites Philip onto his chariot, and no doubt he sat beside the eunuch. And the Bible goes on to teach that Philip went on to explain to this eunuch concerning this passage of scripture and whom it referred to. Note then verse 35, the Bible reads, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." So Philip informed the eunuch, who was a religious man that has just returned from a desire to worship God there in Jerusalem, no doubt. And Philip revealed to this eunuch that this passage of scripture out of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53, is in reference to Jesus Christ. The book of Isaiah was written no less than 700 years before the coming of Jesus Christ. And men like the prophet Isaiah gave testimony concerning a Savior to come, a Messiah to come, a Redeemer that would one day come and pay for the sins of humanity. And as the eunuch read this passage of Scripture, Philip enabled him to comprehend the fact that this passage of Scripture, this reference to this one dying without any resistance for transgressions, the transgressions of people, he said this is in reference to Jesus Christ. So Philip began to teach and preach Jesus Christ to this Ethiopian eunuch, a religious man in search of truth. And he revealed to this Ethiopian man that Jesus Christ is this Savior. He is the Messiah of the world. He is this one that has been promised by many of the prophets of old. And Isaiah was only one of many prophets that foretold that a Savior will come one day. And no doubt as the eunuch was there in Jerusalem worshipping, and he worshipped amongst God's people, the Israelite people, they no doubt made reference of the coming Messiah. And they were looking for this Savior. And as he read this passage of Scripture, he was mystified concerning, whom is this referring to? And Philip helped them to have an understanding that this passage of Scripture that you read, my friend, is in reference to Jesus Christ. See, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." And Philip the Evangelist enabled this man of great importance to have an understanding concerning the Savior, the Messiah of the world. That Jesus Christ is that Savior. And the Bible goes on to teach in verse number 36, as they continued on their way, It would seem that as the eunuch invited Philip onto his chariot, that chariot continued to move along. And they had this Bible study on this moving chariot. And the Bible teaches us that they came by water. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And then, interestingly enough, the eunuch said in verse number 36, he asked a question, "What hinders me from being baptized?" So let's catch a picture of what's taking place here. Philip and the eunuch are having a Bible study on this chariot. And as the driver, no doubt, continues to just transport this very important individual to his office or home, they pass an area, water, and the eunuch said to Philip, "Philip, now, what would stop me from getting baptized?" So we can see from this passage of Scripture that this man is a religious man. Would you agree with that? He's come from Jerusalem because he wanted to worship. He's reading the Bible because he's wanting spiritual understanding. He sees water and he connects water, Bible, baptism. So it could well be that this eunuch has eyewitnessed people getting baptized. He's seen people get baptized. So he's asking the question to Philip, the evangelist, the Bible teacher, "What would hinder me from getting baptized? Can I get baptized? How do I qualify to be baptized?" So no doubt the eunuch had seen a baptism. Because to our understanding, the passage does not tell us that Philip said to the eunuch, "Now here's water, have you ever considered getting baptized?" That's not what the Bible teaches, does it? Philip is just diligently giving some explanation concerning the Bible passage that this religious man is desiring to understand, and meanwhile this man sees water and he asks the question to his Bible study leader, "Can I get baptized? What would hinder me from getting baptized?" Whom is baptism for? Why do we as Bible believing, Bible practicing Christians get baptized? That's the million-dollar question. It's not a difficult question to answer. So Philip went on and he gave the only qualification that needs to be in order before a person can get baptized. And note there in verse number 37, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart..." Now he's referring to Jesus Christ being the Messiah. See, bearing in mind, he's preaching to him about the Lord Jesus out of the book of Isaiah. And he's sharing with him that Jesus Christ is that Saviour. He is that Redeemer for mankind. And Philip said, "If you believe this with all your heart, then you may." And note there, verse number 37, the eunuch's response. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Turn with me for a moment to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Philip said to this individual, "If you believe with all your heart, you may get baptized." And then we read of a confession that was made by the eunuch.
Note here in Romans chapter 10, please, verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made once and for all unto salvation. So here in Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10, the Bible teaches us that we must believe in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Upon believing in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that he is the one that died for the sins of humanity. Isn't that what Good Friday is all about? That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that on the third day he arose from the dead, according to the Scriptures. So if a person chooses to believe that from their heart, and they understand that Christ died in their place because all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. Christ, who was without sin, died for the sins of humanity. So if you believe that in your heart, and then the Bible goes on to teach, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. So there is a belief within the heart, and that belief in the heart is affirmed, so to speak, by a confession of one's lips. And this is exactly what we see from this eunuch here in verse number 37. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The eunuch believed in his heart and he confessed it with his lips. And the Bible teaches us if we believe that Jesus Christ not only died for our sins, was buried and rose again, and if we confess the Lord Jesus with our lips, by prayer, we'll be saved. We become a child of God. So a person is born into God's family by confessing Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. Is this not what the Bible teaches? Very clear, isn't it? It's not complicated. So a person becomes a child of God by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. They believe in Christ, in what he has done on their behalf, and in believing, they turn to Christ and they believe on him, they receive him as their own personal Saviour. And there on that dusty road, on the back of that chariot, this eunuch bowed his head and said before heaven and earth, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. And I now receive him as my Saviour, the one that was foretold hundreds of years previously. I believe that Jesus Christ is that Saviour. This man, by faith, placed his faith in Jesus Christ as his own Saviour. How does a person, how do men, women and children become a part of the family of God? Well, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible teaches us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It's by receiving Jesus Christ as one Saviour. I, at the age of 14, received Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And on that day, I was born into the family of God. I was made a part of God's family. Now the thing about birth, once you are born into a family, you can't reverse that.
It's irreversible. Sorry about that, children. You're stuck with your parents. And your parents are stuck with you. It's irreversible. You are part of that family. And when a person receives Jesus Christ into their life to be their Savior, they are born into God's family. And when this eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he placed his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was born into God's family. He believed in his heart. He confessed with his lips. But also, let's note, upon that confession, note verse 38. And he, that is Philip, commanded the chariot to stand still. He ordered the driver to stop, sir. Stop, stop the chariot. Stop right there. And they went down both into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. So within this passage of Scripture, we see that baptism, Bible baptism, is the evidence of a person that has placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that? Well, if you don't, tough, that's what the Bible teaches. This person places their faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior, and upon that confession with his lips, he is baptized. So biblical baptism, my friend, is not for anybody and everybody. Biblical baptism is for that person that has their wits about them. They have a desire to worship God. They're prepared to believe what the Bible teaches. They're prepared to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And upon that belief, they are prepared to make that decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Those are the only ones that qualify to be baptized. So Philip baptized this man because he confessed Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. He was already born into the family of God. He gave evidence of that birth by his baptism. The baptism did not make him a part of the family of God. The baptism gave evidence of the fact that he was a part of God's family because he has just confessed Jesus Christ as his Savior. That is the biblical prerequisite for baptism, is to first and foremost receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Now, for a person to do that, they've got to have some understanding. They've got to understand what they're doing. Would you agree with that? This man understood what he was doing. He wasn't manipulated by Philip. How could he? This was a wealthy individual. Very important individual. So Philip did not manipulate him against his own will. He just simply taught him from the Bible what the Bible teaches concerning the Savior. And this man, of his own volition, confessed, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession of Christ with his lips, then he was baptized. My friend, this evening, biblical baptism, biblically, baptism is for those individuals that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now I know there's many different forms of baptism taking place today, but I'd rather just make reference to Bible baptism. What about you? See, the word baptism means to immerse. It's a transliteral translation of the word baptizo, which means to dip.
The word never means to sprinkle. The word never means to pour water on somebody's head. It always means to immerse. And funny enough, within the Bible, the only baptism you'll find is by immersion. And that fits in with the meaning of the word. The word is literally immerse. You can exchange the word baptism and just use the word immerse, and you are being absolutely correct, biblically speaking. So when a person is baptized, they are immersed underwater. The Bible teaches us that Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Is that correct? Then they came back out of the water. That's immersion. That's Bible baptism. It's a Bible baptism. It's for the Christian. And for these ones this evening that are about to get baptized, may I affirm to you that each one that will give testimony this evening concerning why they're getting baptized, may I assure you that they are not getting baptized in order to become a child of God? They're getting baptized because they have come to a point in their life, at some point, that they have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're not ashamed of that, so they're openly declaring, advertising their faith by baptism. See, that's why the eunuch knew of baptism. He has seen people get baptized. Back in Jerusalem, great things were taking place. The day of Pentecost there in Acts chapter 2, where thousands of people were coming to Christ and getting baptized. No doubt he was aware of all this. So a person gets baptized because they have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They identify with Christ. But let me close with Romans chapter 6, please, verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 6. In fact, we'll read verse down to verse 5. Romans 3, 4 and 5 of Romans chapter 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Our baptism, biblically speaking, identifies us with Jesus Christ. Now what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, simply this. Watch me. When a person gets baptized, they go down into the water, picturing the death, burial. And that person coming back out of the water pictures the resurrection. So baptism, Bible baptism, pictures the gospel. The death, burial, resurrection. Only baptism by immersion can picture that. Am I right or not? Pictures the gospel. It also illustrates for us that new life in Jesus Christ. And this is what Romans chapter 6 is referring to. Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. For those of us that have received Jesus Christ as Savior, the dominance of sin has been broken, and we no longer need to live out our lives under its dominion. We are free from the power of sin. We can walk in victory, and our baptism pictures that new life in Christ, that new walk before Christ.
And for those of you getting baptized tonight, listen to me very carefully. You are not only demonstrating to us that you are a Christian already, but you are also illustrating for us the fact of the gospel. But last but not least, you are affirming the fact that you have this new life in Christ, and you're going to determine to continue to live out the Christ life in His fullness of power. So that's Bible baptism. It's not complicated, is it? It's confession of Jesus Christ as Saviour, and with that we follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And may God's blessing be upon each one that takes that step this evening. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.